Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself.
From Baltimore, Maryland, here is NBG lead scout Scott Campbell, who has been riding the Mayor's Ride for us since Boston NBG Day on April 28th. He is headed all the way to San Francisco. Listen as he tells us about the outpouring of love and kindness that has filled his ride.
So how's the road treating you, Scott?
I'm pretty good. I've been very happy. The weather's been great.
Okay. The weather's been great, although I know you've run through quite a bit of rain when you left Boston near Connecticut. Wasn't that the case?
Yeah, we had 2 days of rain and got pretty drenched, but, you know, once you're wet, it's not that bad. Just endure it. You're either getting wet from your own perspiration or you're just getting wet because it's wet outside, but I'm staying pretty dry, so I'm
well,
at least my feet are dry.
I think being the former owner of Bike Threads, you've got probably very adequate gear. You know, you've probably got great rain gear, so that's probably one thing that works in your favor, I would think.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I've got a really good rain suit, but most importantly, I've got rain booties to keep my feet dry, and that's what's I feel is important
for me. Yeah.
My feet don't get cold.
Great. Okay. Wow. Okay, well, let's talk about your ride. Before we do that, I want to put this in front of our listenership. Just I want for them to understand what it's like out there. You know, we see in the news, the newspapers, and Homeland Security even that they tell us not to trust our neighbors. We can't trust anyone. That you never know who's going to be out to get you. And yet, I know from talking with you, and you're truly out there, there's a lot of love out there. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I've witnessed some really great random acts of kindness. That's how I term it. Boy, I've got several stories that really tug at your heartstrings. The people that I've run into have just been really friendly and really just outgoing and just giving. Just, you know, they're not afraid to give whatever they've got, and it's just been a great experience for me.
Well, elucidate that. Give us a little. Take us through one scenario.
Well, one night I came into a town called Westbrook, Connecticut, and I was. I think it's Westbrook, Rhode Island, and I was looking for a place to spend the night, so I went into a library, and I was told by someone there that the librarian is a man there that knows the whole area very well. So he made some suggestions on some parks, and he started making phone calls for me, and he was even called the local sheriff there to see if it was okay for me to stay in this park that was right behind the library, and just ran into a dead end everywhere. So he finally says, you know, well, why don't you just go over to my house and set up your tent in my backyard, and it's only about a mile and a half from here, you can just roll down there. And he gave me the directions, and so I went in and set up my tent in his backyard, and he had to go to a meeting after work, so he came in later, and he says, hey, I want you to come in to the house and meet my wife. And so I went in, and I was sitting there, and I was still kind of in my clothes, were still kind of damp. It had been raining that day when I met him. And so I'm sitting there with the family, and their son came home from work, and then he says, well, you know, we've got this extra room upstairs. My other son's off to school, and why don't you just take his bed? And I'm like, okay, you know, I don't have to go outside in that damp tent. I can just sleep in a nice warm bed. So that was really great. And, you know, so in the sense that that's like two acts of kindness, because first he offered me his backyard, and then he ends up offering me a bed in his son's room. And so that was really great. And there's been some free meals along the way, too. I can tell you some stories about that.
Okay, well, I know you had some pizza in New York, and it started out with you being called Bicycle Boy. Take us through that. Take us through that one.
I was in Queens, New York, and I went to do my laundry, and then after I loaded the washing machines up, I went over to this pizza parlor, and these four teenage boys, about 17, 18 years old, they one of them says, "Hey, pizza boy," or no, he says, "Hey, cycling boy, biker boy," he says, "Where you been? What did you do today? Or how far did you ride today?" And I said, "Well, I rode about 6 hours, and it was like 57 miles I rode." And he goes, "Wow, really?" They're all impressed, and for me, that's, I don't think much of it. So, but they're not cyclists, so it's impressive to them. And they started giving me a hard time, sort of like asking me if I could beat Lance Armstrong. And I said, "No, you know, he's a racer. I'm a touring cyclist. It's not the same thing." And the guy says, "What's the matter? You don't have the confidence or something?" And I just laugh and I go, "Yeah, I got confidence, but I just know that we're two different kinds of athletes here, you know." So I ordered two slices of pizza, and the guy puts them in a box, and he gets a bottle of water out of the refrigerator there, and he says, "The pizza Sam wants to sponsor you. This is on the house." And I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." And so then we get to talking, and they were asking me about where I was from. I said, "California." And they go, "Oh, yeah, where are all the pretty girls in California?" And I said, "Well, in my opinion, they got to be in Santa Cruz, you know. That's the beach, and they all like to come down to the beach. And, you know, there's a lot of pretty girls there." But that's not the most spectacular story. What made that amazing to me was television and movies have really given me the idea that New York City is a very cold and violent and just really rough place. And here's these young guys, they're just having a good time, and they're being generous with, you know, what they've got. And that was just amazing. But there's been some others. I've met some really, truly, truly wonderful people. Up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, there's a little bike trail that it's about 15 miles long. And I was on a bike ride to see how far it went and where it went and so far. And on my way back, I ran across this woman who was riding a recumbent tricycle. And she's 70 years old. And I just thought she was local and probably out doing maybe a half an hour ride or something for her. Turns out she lives in Bridgeport. And she'd done the whole length of the trail, and she was on her way back. So that's a 30-mile ride for her. And so I said, "Nice bike," as I passed her. And then I was, I stopped to relieve myself, and I went, she came by me again. So I said, "Hey, you're pretty fast on this thing." And she kind of looked at me funny. And then I caught up to her after that, and I said, "So you are pretty fast." And she said, "I'd be a whole lot faster if I had some air in my tires." And I said, "Well, I've got a pump here on my bike. I can put some air in your tires." So she stopped, and I pulled off, and I put some air in tires. And she was pretty low, and she was feeling pretty good after that. So she says, "Why don't you come have dinner at my restaurant?" And I said, "Okay, that sounds good. I was going to just go home and eat some cook up some food there." And she says, "Well, you can have dinner at my restaurant." So I said, "Great, I'll take your offer." So I went, got cleaned up after my ride, and went to a restaurant, and it was just this most fabulous place, real nice ambiance. It's actually a restaurant and antique store all in one. She sells antiques in there from all over the world, and just wonderful food. And so we'd finished our meal there, and when I just about ready to go, she came in with her husband, and we had to talk and everything, and she signaled her husband to hand me this little metal coin that it looks like a coin, but it's like a little metal with an angel on it. And she gives me the angel, and she says, when you look at this, and when you think about this, think about peace and harmony. And I give this to all my friends and I wanted to give this to you. And I said, I just was so touched by that. I mean, it almost brought tears to my eyes because I was thinking, she considers me one of her friends, and here she's like giving me more than I've ever even thought I gave to her. I mean, so.
Wow. Do you remember the name of the restaurant?
The name of the restaurant is CAV, C-A-V, and it's an acronym for Coffee, Antiques, and Vittles.
Okay.
Huh. And it's in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about Bridgeport for a second,
sure.
Scott. A lot of people think when we tell them we're stopping in Bridgeport City, we're making that one of our Mayor's Ride cities, that they kind of shake their head just a little bit. It's been kind of close to New York City, and yet it's been suffering for a long time from the post-industrial blues. But, you know, that's P.T. Barnum's hometown. He was the former mayor there and years ago. From what we can tell, and maybe from what you've seen as well, that city's totally on the upswing, is it not?
That's true. The city's actually purchased some buildings in the downtown area, one of them which had been abandoned for 10 years. And they've renovated the buildings, they've gotten some grants, and they've put money into the buildings, and now they're leasing the lower levels for rentals, for a retail space. And then above, they've got actually living quarters. So there's maybe like a 4 or 5 story building, and there's 4 stories of low income rental for mm-hmm. living. Yeah, and they're doing that with many of the buildings there that they've got that are abandoned. And they're really revitalizing the downtown area.
And they treated you pretty good. Tell us about that.
Well, there was just so many things that they did for us. It was just, I mean, it just amounts to a huge, huge effort on their part. After the mayor ceremony, the mayor asked us up to his office, and he instructed his staff to get me some tea and whatever I wanted, you know. And so, I mean, I just had some hot tea, and we sat in this little it's almost like a living room off of his office. You got to understand, first of all, he's got this office, this huge, and it used to be part of the Chase Bank headquarters. That Bridgeport was like the banking center of the United States. That was many banks there had headquartered themselves in Bridgeport. So this was like the president's suite for Chase Manhattan Bank. So it's really elaborate the way it's all set up, and it's very luxurious. And so we were sitting there enjoying ourselves, and then his communications officer, or whatever, I'm not sure what her title is, her name's Karen Kaufman, she just starts saying, well, you know, where you guys going to stay tonight? And I said, well, I don't know. Right now, we had a place, but it's like, you know, 13 miles from here. We got to get on the bikes and go down there. And she says, well, let me see what I can do. And she pulled some strings, and she got us a hotel. And then she drove us to the hotel, picked us up the next morning, and brought us back. But in the meantime, there was a home opener baseball game for their minor league team, the Bridgeport Bluefish. She had tickets for that, and she had to go to the game, so she says, I want to take you to the game. So we went to the game. We watched them play. They won their home opener. I had ordered a garden burger from the wait staff there because we were in the mayor's box suite up there in the stadium. And the waitress came back about 10 minutes after I'd ordered this, and she says, I got some bad news. We accidentally gave your order away to somebody else, so we're remaking your order, and it's on the house. You don't have to pay for it. And I can't believe this. I'm just blown away. I mean, so many things, so many good things were just happening that day that I just felt like I was royalty or something.
Right.
All
right,
Scott.
Amazing. Okay, you've been riding with a lot of different cyclists as well since you left Boston April 28th. Who stands out from that that collection of people that have been helping you get your way down the East Coast, Northeast Coast there?
Well, Ray Jordan, who was a resident of Boston, took us from Boston to Providence and led us. That's Jim Molnar and I. He led us both down to Providence and got us there safely and in a really beautiful route. It was not in too congested. Most of the roads he used were really light traveled, so it was a very beautiful ride. Let's see, there hasn't really been anybody else until tomorrow. I'm going to have an escort from Baltimore down to D.C., and then we're going to pick up some more people in D.C., and they're going to escort me down all the way out to Pittsburgh. I just got an email from a guy who wants to join me in, let me see, get my notes here. He's going to join me in Des Moines and ride with me all the way to Omaha. This is Steve Schmidt.
Oh, great. Yeah, he's the president of the Omaha Peddlers. Excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Fantastic. Excellent.
He's trying to get some people together from his club.
Okay.
I've got a greeter tomorrow. It's in going to be in not tomorrow, Friday.
Shit.
In Mount Rainier, and they're going to come out to on the bike trail and meet up with us and lead us into Mount Rainier. And then we'll have a big ceremony there, and we're going to have a lot of food and everything. And then we'll be able to go into Washington, D.C. after that.
Okay. Wow. Scott, let me just, I want to talk about something real quick here also. You've stayed under a lot of different roofs. Can you tell us who some of your hosts have been?
Yeah. I've got a list of them right here.
Okay.
I mean, I've been keeping a list because I want to be able to stay in touch with these people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of extensive because I've had, in every major city that I've been in, I've got somebody here. In Boston area, John Dill was the host. In Providence, it was Enrique Lomnitz. And Enrique is just this incredible guy. He was so gracious. We stayed with him, I think it was three nights, and he just gave us the keys to his place. And even John, John was a funny story in Boston. We met him on the first day, and then he left to go to stay with his girlfriend. And we didn't see him until 3 days later when we were getting ready to leave town. And he came to the mayor's ceremony, and then we went to lunch, and then we didn't see him after that. In Bridgeport, well, you know, I had the hotel there. In New York City, really great guy, a musician, and a real big bike advocate, and his name is S. Snyder Aravalio, something like that. He's a Colombian, and just a wonderful cyclist. He doesn't own a car. He rides his bike to work each morning and back. Again, he's a chef in a vegan restaurant in New York City.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Then in Philadelphia, I had Chris Bujak, and he was a phenomenal cyclist. He did ride with me. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, he led me through the streets of Philadelphia and out into the countryside, and got me on my way out of Philadelphia, and then he just returned back home again. But he rode with me for a few hours, and then here in Baltimore, where we're talking from, there's Keith Ramsey.
All right.
He's been up here for a couple of nights. I've got people lined up in Pittsburgh, Columbus, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Des Moines. I've got people in Reno. So, and I'm working on filling in the gaps there.
Are you finding a lot of these people through Warm Showers?
That's correct. Warmshowers.org.
Okay.
The organization that has got these lists of people who will host people, and I encourage everybody to join Warm Showers and become hosts. I did talk to a guy named Gil Gilman, who was going to put me up in the Bridgeport area, and he had been a member of Warm Showers since its inception, and I was the very first person that ever contacted him 7 years after he joined to ask him for a place to stay. And Chris Bujak from Philadelphia, he also said I was the very first person to ever ask him for to be a host. And then next week, he's hosting a family of four. They're coming up from Florida.
Great.
So I was the first, and they're the second.
All right. And if I may underscore, Gil was our very first, he was our first Washington, D.C. to Pittsburgh cyclist. And if it's serendipity, might have an application here. He was the guy that shows up here now, 5 years later to help you out, or was almost going to help you out. Scott, car drivers talk about the Northeast in they don't talk about it in this way, but you say that you've been riding, doing a lot of up and down climbing. Tell us about that.
Very true. All the way through Long Island on the north shore of the island is very up and down. I was told it was flat as a pancake by a police officer in Bridgeport, and then after going about three-quarters of the way down into New York, I ran across a couple of cyclists, and they said, oh, yeah, the South Shore is pretty flat, but the North Shore, you can thank the glacier for that. It's all up and down, up and down. And then I got into, just ever since then. I mean, ever since I left Newark, New Jersey, it's just been up and down, up and down, all the way until I got here into Baltimore.
How about Boston? Wasn't that from there to Providence and from a lot of climbing there as well, wasn't there?
Boston has some little hills. We actually stayed in the District of Somerville,
mm-hmm.
which is about 5-6 miles north of Boston, and it was downhill pretty much all the way.
So, but you were saying that you've done more climbing the last few days than 8,000 feet of climbing yesterday or something like that?
I would say maybe, I would have to guess, more than 5,000 feet.
Wow.
And the 90 miles that I rode yesterday.
Wow. Well, okay, now tomorrow at Baltimore NBG Day, you're going to be at Baltimore's Inner Harbor, where you're going to receive a proclamation from Mayor Martin O'Malley's office. And Councillor Bob Curran will be there. At the same time, Bicycling Magazine is giving away 50 bikes to kids that need them in Baltimore. Is that something you're looking forward to?
Oh, yeah. I've read about this program, and I've always wondered about it. And it's not just kids. It's going to be adults, pretty much. And this is a program to encourage people to get out on their bikes, people that would probably not normally do that. And I've read some wonderful stories in the magazine about how these people went out and started doing short miles and then just kept increasing their mileage, and now they're like doing longer miles. So
great.
It's a wonderful way to and get people and out there using all the facilities that are available to them.
Too excellent. Okay, and then after Friday, Mount Rainier, the host of our Cycle America 2000 in the year 2000, is cooking up a big reception for you. That's followed by a ride to Washington, D.C., to the Capitol building there, then a big group ride up to CNO to meet the Mayor Bob O'Connor in Pittsburgh. That must be just real exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, meeting up with a bunch of cyclists. There's supposed to be tentatively, there's 10 people that will go from Washington, D.C. to Pittsburgh, and most of it's going to be on the CNO Trail, and we'll be camping along the way, and just really can't wait till that part of the ride comes to me.
All right, Scott. Well, listen, we've reached that point where we've got to kind of start wrapping things up. Anything you'd like to add?
Right now, I'm just really amazed at the amount of love that's out there and the way people have been treating me. Even motorists, I got to say, in New York, this one would think that this is a very busy city and people were rushing around. And I just had really good feelings when I was riding through New York. I didn't feel like I was threatened or being, I didn't get anybody honking at me or yelling at me or anything like that. So even Boston has been rated as one of the most unfriendly cities. And I have to say, I had people actually stop their cars and let us cross the street. And in one instance, I was signaling to make a left turn through an intersection, and the oncoming car stopped to let me go through. And I've just experienced a lot of camaraderie, I guess you could say, on the road, and it's just blowing me away.
All right, Scott. Well, listen, say hi to Keith for us. Keith was one of our Mayor's Ride riders. He rode Baltimore to D.C. a couple of years ago, and he's always been an NBG supporter, where our visits to Baltimore are concerned and things like that. So, Scott, I'm sure we're going to be talking to you a whole bunch of more times before this summer's over. And have a total blast tomorrow. It's going to be exciting. Right. I can't wait to hear your reports and read about what you think about all this stuff. And just thanks for you.
All right, Steve. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Scott. Take care, guy.
Thanks so much. Bye.
See you later, Scott. Bye. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.